You're listening to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for March 2001. This is issue number 192, and I'm your host, Fred Vobey, the publisher of the DX Audio Service. If you'd like to write to me, my address is simply the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service, 706 Mackenzie Drive, Lima, Ohio, 45805. The number here in the studio is area code 419-228-4199. Fax number 419-221-1609. And if you're a member and wish to muse, the number is 419-224-1609. On the internet, my email address is fredv, that's F-R-E-D-V, at nrcdxas.org, and our website is appropriately at www.nrcdxas.org. Great magazine, as always. I'm not conceited, am I? But we've got a lot of good information for you on this edition of the DX Audio Service, but right now, here's Jerry Starr.
This is the AM Switch. To contribute to the AM Switch, send any local observations of call letter changes, changes in operations, or other information to Jerry Starr, care of WHOT Radio, 4040 Simon Road, Youngstown, Ohio, 44512. Now, here's Jerry Starr.
Hi, everybody. Jerry Starr with another edition of AM Switch from the pages of the National Radio Club's DX News Magazine. Four editions of the Switch this month start with reference number 501 and these call letter changes. On 620, KEWS Portland, Oregon becomes KDBZ. 730, WKZX Lenoir City, Tennessee changes back to their old call of WLIL. On 780, WPNP Mulberry, Florida becomes WPPD. 870 KIEV in Glendale, California changes to KLRA. 1300 KTWK Colorado Springs, Colorado changing to KUBL. 1500 WGTT in Alabaster, Alabama changes to WQCR. 1500 WDEN Macon, Georgia becomes WAYS. And up in the X band on 1630 WAWX in Augusta, Georgia becomes WYRU. Several items in otherness on 740. Probably everyone knows this by now, but just for the record, CHWO in Toronto, Ontario, this new station now on the air on 740. 900 WNMB, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, is silent. They will return by spring. 1480 WNBX, Springfield, Vermont, has returned to the air. 1500 WDDZ in Zion, Illinois, has gone back on the air. And on 1550 WVAB, Virginia Beach, Virginia, they've completed building their new taller tower and are now back on the air. Moving to reference number 502, several call changes. 950 WMCJ in Monk's Corner, South Carolina becomes WWJK. On 1280 KBBA, Abilene, Texas changing to KLSI. And on 1430 KQLL in Tulsa, Oklahoma, they've been using the call KTBZ for quite a few months now. They have now made it official. Under otherness on 860 WAMO in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, their construction permit to move to Millvale, Pennsylvania is now on the air. 1220 CJOC Lethbridge, Alberta, this station is now deleted. It has moved to FM. 1440 WMAX Bay City, Michigan is silent pending a sale. 1480 WPWC in Dumfries, Virginia is back on the air. And on 1520 WKBZ in Muskegon Heights, Michigan, this station was silent for several weeks but has already returned. And moving on to reference 503, call letter changes on 540 WQTM in Pine Hills, Florida is changing to WFLF, but the WQTM call won't be in limbo very long. We'll tell you about that when we get to 504. 800 WKEE Huntington, West Virginia becomes WVHU. 940 KCEE Tucson, Arizona changes to KGMS. On 1100, that new station in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida will have the call WIJR. On 1230 KVAS, Astoria, Oregon changes to KKEE. And on 1410 WGME in Watertown, New York becomes WNER. Several otherness items of interest on 1160 WMVI in Mechanicville, New York. This silent station is now back on the air. They're relaying the programming of WUAM which is the 900 station in Saratoga Springs, New York, and on 1580 WTKT in Georgetown, Kentucky. This station has been relaying much programming from WSAI in Cincinnati, often on a tape delay basis, which includes plenty of WSAI mentions, which has led some people to ask the question, have they changed call? They have not. Their official call of record is still WTKT. And finally, moving on to reference number 504 with a lot of call letter changes, on 600 KNRO in Redding, California becomes KAZT. 630 WVVW St. Mary's, West Virginia changing to WJAW. 670 WHRP Claremont, Virginia becomes WRJR. On 740 WWNZ Orlando, Florida changes to WQTM, the call that came up from 540. On 880 WINU in Highland, Illinois becomes WCBW. 970 KCMJ Cochila, California changes to KNWZ. 990 WHOO Orlando, Florida becomes WDYZ. Guess what that stands for? On 1010, KNWZ in Thousand Palms, California changes to KCMJ. 1140, KCLB in Palm Springs, California becomes KNWQ. 1240, WHAI in Greenfield, Massachusetts changes to WHMQ. 1250, WIZZ, Streeter, Illinois becomes WSPL. 1370, WABD, Fort Campbell, Kentucky changes to WJMR. 1440 WRBP Warren, Ohio becomes WHKW. 1510 WCBW in Highland, Illinois changes to WINU to complete that two-station call swap. On 1670, KAZT in Redding, California also completes the swap in that market by becoming KNRO. One application of interest on 1240 CJAN in Asbestos, Quebec wants to move to 99.3 FM. And in otherness, on 840 CJXX in Grand Prairie, Manitoba, this station is now deleted from the AM band. They have moved to FM. 1100 WMYQ in Newton, Mississippi has returned to the air. 1430 KJAY in Sacramento, California. Last month we reported this station to be silent. Actually, this station is on the air, but with an abbreviated schedule. They operate from 6 a.m. to 1 p.m. their local time Monday through Friday, and on Saturday and Sunday from 6 a.m. to 11 a.m. only. 1450 KOBO, Yuba City, California has returned to the air. 1450 WBVA in Bayside, Virginia, this brand new station in the Tidewater, is now on the air. And that wraps it up for this month. About 30 days from now, we'll run down more stuff from the broadcast band. Right now, let's head down to the sunny south. Here's John Bucker.
Well, hello, everyone, and thanks again, Jerry. I hope you enjoyed the Florida sunshine we arranged for you during the NASCAR races here last month. And, oh, hey, while you were down here, Jerry, did you happen to catch our new station in Orlando?
This is Central Florida's News Radio 540 WFLA.
You got that? 540 WFLA. Now let's go up to 970 and see what we get, okay?
The Bay Area's number one for news and talk.
This is News Radio 970 WFLA, Tampa Bay.
So we got WFLA at two different frequencies on your AM radio dial right here in Central Florida. And of course, the two stations are not related to each other in any way, shape, or form. Well, here's the way they get around that.
WFLF Pine Hills, Orlando. Fast talkers. This is Central Florida's News Radio 540 WFLA.
CBS News, I'm Cammie McCoy.
Isn't that cute the way they go from WFLF to WFLA in one sentence? Oh, my goodness. Hey, everybody, this is the travelogue portion of the audio service, and today we're going to be hearing from the remaining stations that operate at 610 on the dial that you didn't hear on the February audio service. So let's get started where we left off in the state of Kentucky as we begin the March 2001 DX audio service travelogue.
From Logan County, Kentucky, this is AM 610 WRUS, Russell Villadarville, Auburn, Lewisburg, Chandlerson, Olmsted. Good afternoon, everyone. It's a beautiful Sunday afternoon, and in right now it's time for ABC News at the top of this 3 o'clock hour.
From ABC News, I'm Joan Bennett.
Yeah, no, that starts right off with a pet peeve of mine. There are only a few examples, I'm pleased to say, in the whole country, but what do you suppose the chances are that two stations at 610 on the dial would both come from cities named Russellville? Okay, you know, if it were Springfield, I could understand it, but Russellville? This one in Kentucky runs 1,800 watts, so it isn't all that powerful, but then the station in Arkansas isn't that far away either. and we're going to be hearing the other one in due time. But meantime, what do you say, let's head north into Ohio.
3660 Olentangy River Road.
It's 8 o'clock on the full-service giant in Columbus. 610 WTVN Radio.
From ABC News, I'm Marty McNeely.
Okay, Marty. And you're in the city of radio. I think we went over that a year or two ago. But you know, last September, when so many of us were in Lima, Ohio, about the first thing any of us did when we got to the NRC DXAS convention was to take a swing up and down the dial to be sure there were no surprises for us. Well, 610 came booming in with its 5,000 watts from Columbus over a distance of, over 90 miles. Here's how they sounded at noon in the parking lot of the Marriott Inn in Lima, Ohio.
Break through the busy signal. Call 821-WTVN weekdays at 3 and join the After Rush Hour with John Lane, only on the Giant.
It's 4 o'clock. Radio 610 WTBN, good afternoon.
I'd say that's a nice antenna system. That has to be the only way they can explain that. And so we next move up to Michigan with our dial set at 610, and we hear nothing. And it's the same empty dial in Indiana and Illinois. There are no stations in those states at 610 on the dial, or Wisconsin. So we just kept going west the way Horace Greeley taught us way back in elementary school.
The music you love and the information you need. This is KDAL, Duluth Superior.
It's high noon in the Twin Ports at KDAL Radio. KDAL, Duluth Superior.
In the spirit of honesty, we were in Wisconsin. We were in Superior, Wisconsin, right across the little river there from Duluth. We made that recording. Mainly because, our motorhome, no motorhome likes steep hills, particularly when you're towing a car as we were. And Duluth is built into the side of a hill that runs from down at Lake Superior all the way up to the university at the top of the hill. It's really a beautiful setting, I have to tell you. Well, listen now to one of the more distinctive station breaks of any station in the United States. I heard it said once that it was against station policy here for one person to give both the call letters and the city of license.
74 degrees on Signal Hill at 61 Country. Again, the hour's top story, President Reagan and Gorbachev will meet for a summit December 7th in Washington, D.C. That's news. Frank Haynes, WDAF.
Kansas City is 61 Country, where your winning check number can win you up to 10 grand.
Just while we were waiting to visit the Truman Library in the next town over, I taped this ID at 610 there.
WDAF, Kansas City.
See? Same guy.
And a good Thursday morning to you. Skinny Bobby Harper here on Radio 61.
I can also bet you if we'd been there on a Friday, it would have been Friday is WDAF day. What do you bet? Well, okay, here comes the other Russellville station. Now, this is only 1,000 watts. It's just 80 miles or so west of Little Rock in Arkansas.
9 p.m. until 6 a.m. weeknights, hear TalkNet on Total Radio Carve, KARV Russellville.
We cover the valley like no one else. We're CARV, K-A-R-V, Russellville.
Stay tuned for Dial a Trade coming up next on CARV, 5 o'clock.
CBS News, I'm Dick Reeves.
Now, last month I made a big deal out of a few stations that over the years have made a name for themselves. And certainly this next station at one time was among the very elite of the United States.
Galveston's clear at 74 degrees, Intercontinental's at 73, Hobby's at 75 degrees. Downtown, we are clear sky, 73 degrees at KILT.
Real country music for Houston, Texas. That's Rodeo Country on 610 AM.
As we move north from that Gulf of Mexico seaport, up through Kansas, where there are no 610 stations, we get up into Nebraska.
KCSR, Shatter, Nebraska.
Ready for more of the KCSR Waxwork Show? Well, you're just in time, because it's Miller time with your filler Bill Miller and our time and you.
Okay. Among the fun trips that Linda and I took over the years was one in which we drove all of U.S. Highway number 2 over its entire length. Now, U.S. 2 is an east-west road, and it kind of ends when it gets to the Great Lakes. But we went to its western and its midwestern ends and then picked it up again in New York State, followed it through Vermont and New Hampshire, all the way to Maine to its eastern terminus. But by then we'd gone by a couple of 610 stations.
It's all at Haver Bicycle, 108 First Street in downtown Haver.
This is KOJM Haver. Good morning. It's 9 o'clock.
From ABC News, I'm Doug Limerick. An early exit for the boys of summer. Tonight's Major League Baseball games may be the last games for some time.
And it was, as you may know, there's talk about another lengthy strike in Major League Baseball occurring after this season, the 2001 season. But that doesn't matter to the folks in this next town that has a 610 radio station, not as long as the cold weather sets in with just a little snow.
Mountain Time, KHTH Dillon, KDMN Buena Vista, KSKE Vale, and KRKY Granby.
When you need tools in the Buena Vista area, you need Steeples.
Well, now that we were listening for KSKE and Vale in that particular case at 610 on the dial. Okay, everybody, I have to take you back now to the early 1970s and my very first boombox radio. I made a tape just to confirm what I'd actually been hearing as I went around and around the country for my work at that time. And in those days, I was really only interested in satisfying myself that I had logged each station rather than writing in for a verification. I just wrote it down on my logbook and had a tape to back it up if anybody said, hey, you couldn't have heard that station. I said, oh, yes, I could.
KGGM Radio, Albuquerque.
And, well, even 15 years later, we didn't keep all that much on tape, I have to admit.
61 AM, the new KRKE, Albuquerque.
But 6 years ago in this fabulous city, we let the tape run a little bit longer, and I'm kind of glad we did.
KZRR, KZSS, Albuquerque.
It's like I'm having the most beautiful dream and the most terrible nightmare all at once.
94 Rock.
And from KZSS in Albuquerque, we head north into the state of Utah.
New from Elton John, right here at KVNU Logan, 82 degrees, it's 4 o'clock.
Okay, we're going to move to the west, crossing through Arizona. Oh, hey, thanks for the updates on 550 and 910 in Phoenix, Skip Dibblestein. We just got a tape from him, as a matter of fact, this very morning. We're going to continue right through that area. We're going to head for Tinseltown, and just north of Los Angeles is the city of Lancaster, California.
Sports Fan Radio Network.
From Boron to Big Bear and Barstow, it's Southern California's play-by-play sports leader, KAVL Lancaster, Sports Radio 610.
USA Radio Network News, this is Russ Rowe.
And if you go far enough up the coast to the other city by the bay, as we like to say here in Tampa, our 610 dial again comes alive with this.
I enjoy doing it for you. Let's try it again tomorrow morning.
You know, when I was working at KNBR, we were most concerned in the mornings with KFRC. They were just down the dial from us, of course. And in parts of the city, they even had a stronger signal than we did.
FRC. The rhythm of San Francisco.
Huh. Well, that's a little deflating. I mean, to hear a voice like that, I can't believe it. Phew! I was just going to say, KFRC, San Francisco.
And that would have been enough, let's face it. We're going up into the Beaver State as we head north now.
KYJC, AM and FM, Medford Grants Pass, Rockin' Hot Country, K97.
The band is cranking up. The crowd is just about to get down.
Well, that sounds like a perfectly respectable station, so let's see how they improved in the later 1990s.
Ladies and
seguimos contigo a través del 610 AM Stereo Radio Carreta, y esto es nada más y nada menos que los Tucanes.
Okay, you got it? Well. Hey, now, I got to tell you, we had an awful lot of fun with 610 on the dial in eastern Washington. We spent an evening in a campground near Yakima, and that was just close enough to Kennewick to pick this 610 signal up.
Ann Murray and Daydream Believer on 610 Information Radio, KONA, in Kennewick, Pasco, and Richland.
Oh, yes, sir. Good old KONA in Kennewick.
That's news on the hour on KONA, Pasco, Kennewick, Richland, Washington, Stereo 61.
Wait a minute. I thought he said Kennewick the first time. Now he's saying KONA in Pasco. Of course, those are neighboring cities. We'll tell you what, we'll give them one more hourly ID to see which one they really mean. Of course, it's the first city he mentions has to be the city of license, as you know. What do you bet? Will it be Pasco? Or will it be Kennewick? Listen.
Stay with us right here for the news, sports, and weather to keep you involved. I'm Roger Clausen at KONA, Richland, Pasco, Kennewick, 61 Information Radio.
Richland. Oh, and in that total confusion, we bid a fond farewell to 610 in the United States. But wait, there's more.
Whether you're in Carcross, Watson Lake, Haines Junction, Farrell, Dawson City, Mayo, or in Whitehorse, we're playing more of your favorite music. You're listening to CKRW.
And we're going to end this month's production of the Travelogue near one of the world's most famous places. Yes, indeed, near the town where shredded wheat cereal is made.
Your station has the best music in St. Catharines, Niagara. 610 CKTV.
And that means next month we're going to be starting on my most favorite AM frequency of them all, 620. And why is that? Because that's where my dulcet tones were first heard on the air, in Vermont, just a couple of years ago or so. All coming to you in April on the DX Audio Service. But coming to you right now is Bruce Conti and the DX Digest.
Hello, DXers. I'm Bruce Conti, and this is the DX Digest. We have reached the peak of sunspot cycle 23, if you could call it that. Cycle 23 has been relatively weak, among other things, failing to produce enough solar activity to be disruptive to satellite communications, terrestrial radio, and power grids. Some forecasts indicated that the peak of the solar cycle would rival the Y2K bug. Of course, Y2K has come and gone quietly, and so has the peak of solar cycle 23. The peak is indicated by scientific observations of the sun. Observers look for a change in the hemispherical polarity of the sun as sunspot groups decay. Fragments of their magnetic concentrations are carried toward the sun's poles. The polarity from the trailing spot reaches the polar region sooner and is of opposite sign to that of the old preceding spot, eventually leading to a switch in polarity between the sun's northern and southern hemispheres. Generally, this reversal, or magnetic rollover, occurs around the time of sunspot maximum. This, according to Peter Taylor in his book titled Observing the Sun. Bottom line, we've survived the peak of sunspot cycle 23, at least in theory. This sunspot cycle has been quiet, not producing the sustained classic auroral conditions of past cycles. In fact, transoceanic reception has remained relatively good through the cycle. The month of February was no exception. Let's check out some transatlantic signals received here at my listening post in Nashua, New Hampshire, beginning with this unidentified station on 1548 kilohertz, 2220 UTC, February 17. Voice of America broadcasts from Kuwait on 1548 are supposed to be in English at 21 to 3 hours UTC. My best guess is that this was the voice of Russia. The signal faded to nil by 2230 UTC. Next up, Spain on 1575 kilohertz with talk on the SER network over an unidentified station, perhaps Italy. Spain on 1575 kilohertz. Now on to 1584 kilohertz, Ceuta, or what some refer to as Spanish Morocco, with pop music. This one is actually slightly off frequency at 1583.65 kilohertz, producing a hit against transatlantic signals on 1584. This was at 2240 UTC, February 17. Listen next for Belgium on 1512 kilohertz with Radio Netherlands in English at 23 hours UTC.
We're broadcasting to Europe on satellite and medium wave and worldwide via the internet. Now from the Radio Netherlands newsroom, a comprehensive roundup of news and current affairs. Hello, I'm Daniel Frankel. Iraq has vowed to retaliate for Friday's attack on radar installations near Baghdad.
Belgium on 1512. Now check out this signal from TalkSport England on 1089 kilohertz.
Finally, cricket and England are on top in their tour match against Sri Lankan President Ford 11 a week before the first test. The chorus reached 418 for 7 on day 3 in reply to the host 253. And that's the latest. More news and sport at midnight.
On 1089 and 1053 AM, Tommy Boy on Talk 4.
The slight echo is caused by receiving more than one station at the same time carrying TalkSport on 1089 kilohertz. Now the France Blue Network on 1206 kilohertz from Bordeaux, France. Listen for the France Blue jingle, recorded 2315 UTC, February 17. France Blue on 1206 kilohertz, interference from WPHT Philadelphia on 1210. Back to where we started on 1548 kilohertz, here's the Voice of America from Kuwait in English just before 2330 UTC. That's a good sampling of transatlantic signals heard in southern New Hampshire. Reception was on a Drake R8B general coverage communications receiver with two antenna wires, a 30-meter long wire and a 30-meter long east sloping wire, coupled via 4-to-1 mini-circuits RF matching transformers with isolated grounds and 20 feet of buried coax for noise reduction into an LC tank phasing unit, model MWDX5. Got some DX you'd like to share, send it on an audio cassette tape to me, along with a brief narrative about your experiences. The address, 46 Ridgefield Drive, Nashua, New Hampshire, 03062-1174. More next time on the DX Digest. I'm Bruce Conti, 73 and good DX.
Mark Dernberger back again with another Clear Channel band scan, and now we're beginning work from our new studio in Grand Junction, Colorado. When we reopened our computer files and reviewed the captures we've made on the road over the last couple of years and added them up, we find we've got about 36 columns worth of information and band scans on digital tape. So we need to get to work on these and get them out to you before the station ID information is outdated by Jerry Starr's updates. So this month, we head back to Death Valley for a comparison of antennas. The built-in loop on the Sony 7600 against a 1,500-foot beverage antenna, which we strung along the desert floor in a generally southwest-northeast direction. The beverage was oriented to favor the Los Angeles area off the backside and stations to the east and northeast off the front, whereas we'll use the loop to look directly at the station, no matter which direction it's coming from. Now, if you're not a believer in the power of the long-wire beverage antenna, the next few minutes might change your mind as we open our roving microphones to the desert. And we note how subdued and relaxed your friendly correspondent will sound. Night in such an awesome environment has that effect on you.
From under the stars here in Death Valley National Park on this Friday night, April 16th, 1999, we thought we'd let you hear what happens when we switch between the beverage antenna that's laid out here on the desert floor and the loop antenna in the radio. So you will hear the basic radio loop antenna, built-in loop antenna, and then I will jack in the beverage, which will override the loop antenna, and we'll see what happens on each station, starting with 640, which is KFI, which you hear right now, on the loop antenna in the radio.
Certainly, I can't prevent these things from happening, but the equipment drivers, so that they understand the rules of the road.
And there we switched in the beverage antenna.
And here again, and you mentioned it very clearly, once again, we're having to face the tragedy of
go back to the loop antenna and the radio.
Involved in accidents that should not happen.
And why are these accidents happening?
All right, let's go to 650, which out here should be KMTI in Manti, Utah. Let's plug in the beverage and see what happens. We'll ride this to the end of the music and see what happens, see whether this is Manti or
it's
Nashville.
1-800-766-3252 for your song at your Country from the Heart station. KMTI, AM 650.
Well, that's Manti, Utah, obviously. That's on the beverage antenna. Now we will unplug the beverage and go back to the loop in the radio. I would say that was worth stringing out, wouldn't you? All right, let's go up the band to 670. This is KBOI in Boise.
To bring their guns to school, basically in their vehicles.
Again, on the loop of the radio. So now let's plug the beverage in and see what happens to Boise. Remember, the beverage is pointed quite a ways away from Boise, and this may actually work against the station because we're now in the part of the antenna where the signal should be actually rejected. But and that would be broadside to the axis of the beverage antenna. Let's see what happens when we plug it in.
And this has been stressed throughout the state of Idaho today, and we want to carry that beyond to other communities.
I think just as it should. In fact, I would be willing to bet you. If we stayed with this, we would probably notice that it's the Southern California station on 670, Simi Valley. Let me pull the beverage out and go back to the loop, which is oriented toward Boise. Okay, so it proves that the beverage is working along its axis and is rejecting signals along its side. Okay, that's KWLW in North Salt Lake City. I think that this time the beverage is going to make a substantial improvement because the beverage is pointed more or less in that general direction. Let's see what happens when we plug it in. And that's, of course, KWLW 700 in North Salt Lake City. Let's go to 710. Now, first off, we will try orienting the loop. And this is supposed to be the Disney station in Los Angeles. And as usual out here with that kind of a signal being directed away from our direction, we don't expect much. Let's see now what's going to happen when we plug the beverage in, because we should now be able to pick some of KDIS off the back of the beverage. Let's see what happens. And this is off the back side of the beverage. The beverage, because it's unterminated, is acting as a bidirectional antenna along the axis of the wire. And the back side of the wire is more or less aimed towards Southern California. Let's go to 720, which should be out here, should be KDWN in Las Vegas.
Who was extremely successful at home.
And I'm pretty certain that the beverage is going to make a difference here. Let's find out.
Consecutive road victory. Here's the 1-2 pitch.
Now, isn't that interesting?
And Beltre back on the bag.
We are now hearing Chicago and KDWN in Las Vegas. Let's pull it back out and just go to the loop. And that's the best I can do with the loop. Let's go back into the beverage. All right, well, I don't know what we proved there other than the beverage is working as predicted. All right, let's go to 750.
Who do you think you are? Well, if you tell me your profession and your age and your religion and what part of the country...
This would be KOA Ellen Price, Utah.
I don't know what you love.
On the loop antenna in the radio. Let's now plug in the beverage.
Your resume, and I don't want to know your experience. Those are handy things.
There's a difference, just as predicted.
Great, very useful.
Interestingly, again, you hear some co-channel in there, which is more than likely Atlanta.
That everyone has unique gifts and talents.
Remember, the beverage is acting as a very high gain antenna in that direction, so it's certainly not just bringing in KOAL and Price, but anything beyond it. Okay, let's go back to the loop.
Okay. So now that goes down,
which is what we have there.
And drugs, right?
And let's go to 780. That's KKOH in Reno. This is the loop antenna. And now we'll plug in the beverage. My guess is that we're going to start hearing more of Chicago and less of Reno. Here we go.
Well, I think what also empowers them is the fact that our
listen to that.
President would not be able to persuade me.
WBBM. There's a classic example of how the beverage antenna is working off the side where Reno is. It's being rejected. Down the axis toward Chicago, WBBM is there. Let me take out the beverage and let's go back to the loop.
What we do, Ed, is we pray for both those leaders. We pray for Slobodan Milosevic. And
okay.
We pray for William Jefferson.
We made the point on that one. All right, let's move up to 1,000.
I'm headquartered in Moscow.
And what time was I've got it turned.
It would have been in the early 70s.
Northwest, okay, so presumably it's finding Como in Seattle.
Again, we show you in the book Emerging Viruses.
If it's Seattle,
World Health Organization,
when I plug in the beverage,
developing the smallpox,
it'll probably go away. Let's see what happens.
International AIDS pandemic.
Let's take the beverage back off. Remember now, with the beverage on, it's rejecting things from the side, and that's exactly the direction of Seattle. So it's doing what it should. Here's the loop again on Seattle.
1970 had isolated more than 7.
Okay, up to 1070. KNX is playing Gunsmoke. All right, not too good a signal tonight. Okay, that's the loop, KNX. Let's plug in the beverage and see if we can improve it.
Transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young.
I'm that man.
And the story of a man who moved with
him. I'm that man. Matt Dillon.
William Conrad. Well, we know that the beverage
the
works on KNX.
And the last they want to
off the backside. It's a chancy job being out here in the desert.
Man watchful.
And a little lonely.
And a little lonely.
But it's fun to do radio in the middle of the Death Valley National Park. Let's go to 1190.
In the packet. He'll have two free throws with 7:29 remaining in the game.
What do we have here? Good strong signal to the north. Well, that's obviously the Portland station, KEX. And there we switched in the beverage antenna. Go back to the loop antenna in the radio.
The Blazers did. You have to do that. The Blazers are proud
KEX.
Going. Really wrap them. And that time, they really...
From under the stars, Death Valley National Park, California. On April 16th, 1999, a special Clear Channel band scan, as we compare selected stations between the loop antenna in the Sony 7600G radio and a 1,500-foot beverage we have strung out along the desert floor, and generally oriented kind of northeast from our location. All right, let's go to 1,500. And there's a station to the north of us in 1,500. I wonder if that's the Canadian. Very well be the station in British Columbia. Let's see what the beverage does to this. If the beverage wipes it out, we're going to assume that's where it's coming from. There's the beverage. And you begin to hear KSDP St. Paul. All right, and let me take the beverage out and go back to the loop. Isn't that interesting? The beverage, again, is rejecting to the north and pulling it from the east. Here we are again. Wipes out the station, more than likely the British Columbia station. Okay, let's pull this out and go to 1510, Spokane.
Nor
not much doubt about that
urban
one.
Urban peace been purchased at the price of police reign of terror.
Let's plug the beverage in and see what it does.
All these actors and actresses who aren't working at this moment, who are gunning themselves.
Yeah, just brings up some co-channel from the east.
You need to really look at the facts.
Hear it there?
The police department.
Let's pull out the beverage and go back to the loop pointed towards Spokane.
Officers since 1991. Police
just as it should
crime.
Be. Okay, so what have we proved, boys and girls and all the ships at sea? Well, it's clear that the beverage is doing what it's supposed to do. 1,500 feet lying on the desert floor may not be the best place to put a beverage. While most beverage aficionados would say, get that thing 6 or 8 feet off the ground, it does work here because the soil has such poor conductivity. And because the poor soil makes it impossible to ground the end of the antenna, we have to settle for pickup off both ends, and we certainly proved it's doing that. So another fun night with our hobby, and yeah, it's a lot of work setting up this listening post, but it's also a labor of love, made all the more rewarding because we have you to share it with. This is Mark Dernberger, the rookie on the DX Audio Service, now broadcasting from Grand Junction, Colorado on the western slope of the Rockies. If you have any suggestions or comments, please forward them to our new email address. That's mark@dernberger.com. Mark with a K at Durenberger, Durenberger.com. And until next time we meet, good listening, DXers.
Thanks, Mark. Now let's move on to a mystery of sorts, or should I say mystery signal. In the past month or so, we've had an exchange of emails on our am@nrcdxas.org email list concerning a mystery signal which has been cropping up on the frequency of 1140 kilohertz. This signal, comprised of a carrier and approximately 4 to 8 beats per second, has been interfering with stations on 1140 kilohertz. Harry Helms has narrowed the frequency down, actually, to 1136 for this mystery signal. And the following is an email exchange between Jay White and Harry Helms in the email list, just to give you a little idea of what's going on. It reads, Harry, Lee Freshwater has forwarded your emails with regard to the interfering signal on 1140 kilohertz in the Southern California area. I had contacted Lee after I found him on the internet and took a shot that he may know about the signal. I am Director of Engineering for Morris Communications Corporation, who owns 7 stations in Palm Springs, including KNWQ on 1140 kilohertz. We've been troubled by this renegade signal for about a month now. Interestingly, the signal is right on top of us during the times it is on the air. We've had numerous complaints from listeners who cannot receive us through this interference. I've tried to track the signal during the day, but it seems that it's not on the air during daylight hours. And I attempted to track it on Monday night, but the Las Vegas transmission was mixed in with it, so I could not get a clean direction. I'm curious to know about your location and the bearing you measured for the signal. Incidentally, all the 1140 radio stations in the area, Sacramento, Las Vegas, Palm Springs, and Lake Isabella, have been affected by the signal. We tried to orchestrate some downtime on Tuesday night after midnight, but the signal was gone, where I heard it cleanly not 30 minutes before. This transmitter historically has been turned on about 4:30 p.m., but we've been unable to determine when it is turned off. I'm curious to know about it. I find it interesting that both times the Federal Communications Commission has been notified, the signal disappears. I would appreciate any further information that you are able to provide. Signed, Jay White, Director of Engineering for Morris Communications Corporation. And in another message, Patrick Griffith writes, "This just gets more interesting by the minute. I decided to try it during the day. There was no sign of the noise on 1140, but it was present with a tremendous signal on 820 around 1500 Eastern Standard Time on February 17th, Saturday. This signal loops in from the northwest and the southeast, which is pretty much the opposite of what 1140 was indicating last night. I listened to it in several modes, and it really does sound like idling RTTY most of the time. While I was listening in USB mode, I noticed several short fade-ins by something that sounded exactly like the old shortwave buzzsaw jammers. It seemed to be way in the background, but it came up from the muck every once in a while with a good signal. The original noise did not fade with it. I also noticed a similar noise on 520. It was much weaker, and I can't say for sure that it was the same noise. This one looped due east and west." And that was from Patrick Griffith of Westminster, Colorado. So, DX Audio Service members, there's a little challenge. See if you can locate the mystery signal. Give us an idea where this signal is coming from. You can contact me here at the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service, or participate in some discussions on our email list at am@nrcdxas.org. Well, I think this is a first in the 15 years that I've done the DX Audio Service. This is the first time that I've done a CPC non-test. We just received word via officials at WTIC and KRLD, both stations on 1080, that they intend to cooperate in being off the air for tests and maintenance on March the 3rd to the 4th, and perhaps for a short time simultaneously. According to Chief Engineer Jeff Hugabone at WTIC, WTIC and KRLD routinely communicate through quarterly corporate engineering teleconference calls. During one of these sessions, we found out that they were going to be doing scheduled maintenance during the same month and decided that it would be a nice gesture to the DX community to coordinate this maintenance, since it would be quite impossible for this to happen naturally. Quote, "As a broadcast engineer, it is our nature as well to be curious about what folks can hear on 1080. We view this as sort of a propagation experiment. So in return for our effort, we simply ask if the National Radio Club could, in its promotion of this event, structure it in such a way as to encourage the results be remitted to the National Radio Club and then shared with WTIC and KRLD. As you know, certain circumstances, emergencies, etc., could always occur, canceling this event. But we have put the night of March 3rd to the 4th, 12 midnight to 1 a.m. Central Standard Time, up on the board for this event. KRLD will likely go off the air first at 12 a.m. Central Standard Time, with WTIC going off approximately at 11:25 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and remaining off until 12:05 a.m. So please report what you hear during this extraordinary event to your appropriate DDXD editor, and we'll send copies of DX News to both stations. For DX Audio Service members, You can simply give your results to me in email at fredv@nrcdxas.org, in our email list at am@nrcdxas.org. Put it on a cassette and send it to us here at the DX Audio Service, or call it in on the Musings line. And finally, thanks to both stations for their cooperation and thinking of the DX community.
It's time for a pattern change. Or at least to flip over your tape for more of the DX Audio Service.